We thank you for your loving kindness and for your tender mercies. We thank you for this day, another Christmas Eve, and that we have lived to see it. We thank you. We know it's by your grace and through your mercy why we are here. And so, God, as we look forward to next year, we pray that you will grant us your grace. And tonight, as we have come to celebrate the birth of the Christ child, we rejoice again. We are excited about this birth, because through this birth, Lord God, you sent Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and has given us the hope of eternal life. And for that, we give you thanks. And Lord, speak now. And take hold of me, the preacher, and put me under submission to your will. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge, you are our Redeemer, you are our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Well, today is Christmas Eve, and you know we're happy for many different things, aren't we? The young people are happy for what they're going to be getting later on. Grown-ups are happy for what they're going to be getting later on, or not getting later on. Some of the folks are happy for the ties you're going to be getting, or another tie, another sweater that they don't like, or whatever it may be. We are rejoicing tonight for that. And I hope now we are going to be rejoicing for the real gift, the gift of Jesus Christ. The psalmist says, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord and bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day." You've heard the psalm read in your hearing just now. And I just want to lift up the first verse. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. It's a very exciting verse, a few verses, isn't it? One, when you read this psalm, Psalm 96, from 1 to 9, it's a psalm where you're anticipating. You're expecting something to happen. Sing to the Lord a new song. That means they must have been singing to the Lord some old songs, right? So now we're singing to the Lord a new song, because we want to glorify the Lord. Further on, the psalmist says, "Ascribe to the Lord all families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Because the Lord has done mighty things." Now we know that one can glean from this psalm a sense of amazement, a sense of wonder. Amazement is defined as a feeling of great surprise or wonder. Amazement. My sermon title today is a question for us, which I'm posing to all of us. Are we still amazed? Are we still amazed, and what are we amazed about? Now let me share a little story with you. And I have a prop, a couple of props. I have this bag. That's kind of pretty, isn't it? Well, I used to have another little purse. And this purse had gotten worn. Completely worn. It didn't look too good. She doesn't know that I'm going to be using her in my sermon, because this came as a revelation. So my little purse, I liked it. Somebody had given it to me. And I carried it everywhere. And the edges were falling off. And all the, you know, till the wires were showing. But I always carried it. It's not a pocketbook that I carry outside. It's in my bag. And every time Zam Zam saw my purse, she had a problem with it. She says, "Why are you carrying this thing around?" I says, "Is it bothering you?" And she would complain every time. She said, "Pastor, you could do better than that." I said, "I like my purse. I know what's in it. It's now soft and crumply. It's not something that gets you excited. There's no amazement. There's nothing you can find in it that's going to turn you on, but I like it." Well, she kept at it. And I just keep ignoring her. Well, one day I walked to my office, months later. I guess it was bothering her. So much so that I looked at my desk and there was this purse. So I said, "Where is my purse? Where is my old ruggedy black purse that I'm so used to? I throw it around, little wallet thing. Where is it? I got so familiar to it. I knew everything about it. It didn't excite me. It didn't amaze me. It didn't turn me on. Where is it?" And on my desk was this, and all my stuff had been moved. It's nothing major. No secrets in here. Keys and things like that. All my stuff had been moved out of that purse and was moved into this purse, and the old black purse was missing. She was tired of seeing my purse. Now, I could have gotten crazy, couldn't I? Because I liked my little old purse. And without asking me, she was tired of seeing it because it was doing nothing for her. But it was doing something for me. So she moved it and she got rid of it. Because it conjured up no excitement for her. Well, I have a bag. And this is an old bag. It even has a hole in the bottom. And I carry it everywhere. Now one could imagine this is a free bag that I got with a perfume. I didn't even buy Zamzam, but I'm hiding it from her. It has got a hole in the bottom. It's got stuff. It's been on planes with me and everywhere. Sometimes I carry it and I says, "Why am I carrying this bag?" But I like it. It doesn't excite anyone. It doesn't excite me, but I know where everything is in it. It's dull and it's mine. So today when I picked it up, I thought, "My God, I've got a big hole. I can't let Zamzam see it." Because she's going to want to change my bag. See, my purse is dull and boring and worn out. And it bothered her. It did nothing for her. She wanted me to get something that would bring excitement and amazement. She says, "Pastor, you are the pastor." I says, "I know, but I don't care." Wanted me. Friends, this is the story of the birth of Christ. Sometimes for many of us, it has gotten old and stale. We have allowed the birth of Jesus Christ to lose its amazement. We no longer get excited about it. Frankly, we don't even tell people about it. It has become worn and familiar to us. We just carry it around like I carry this around. I throw it everywhere. Everybody in this church has found it somewhere, most people. Means nothing. It's just a thing to carry for me to not lose my keys. And so we oftentimes have done the same thing with this wonderful story of the birth of Jesus Christ. Some businessmen said, I read somewhere, are saying that this could be the greatest Christmas ever. The writer says, "I always thought that the first one was the greatest. The first one when Christ was born. Because you're defining greatness in the terms of human profit. It's going to be real good come January 1, from a human standpoint. But for us, this story of Jesus' birth is the greatest story that was ever made. We read in the gospel, it says, in that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel says, 'Do not be afraid, for see, I'm bringing you good news. Good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you, and you will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger.' And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts." And then we hear further on, he says, And then when the angels left, they went to the shepherd. And the shepherd says, let us go to Bethlehem. And let us go and see this thing, to this place, what has happened. And the Bible tells us, and when they got there, and they saw what had happened, and they came back and they told people, they were amazed. Now, friends, this story has not lost its amazement. We are allowing it to lose its amazement in our lives. We need to get back to the point of being able to tell the Lord about our love for Jesus Christ, what he has done for us, that he saved us, that we believe in him if we do believe, and not only at Christmas Eve, friends, but all the time. Max Lucado, in his book, One Incredible Moment, writes, step away from the puny pursuits of possessions and petition and positions and seek your king. Don't be satisfied with angels. Don't be content with stars in the sky. Seek Jesus out as the shepherds did. Long for Jesus as Simeon did. Worship Jesus as the wise men did. Risk everything it takes to see Christ. That we are supposed to what? Feel about Jesus all the time. To seek him, to understand, to know what he has done for us, and to be very deliberate about it. A bishop of the United Methodist Church writes, he says, friends, as we look towards the new year, let us be diligent in our search for Jesus. Be passionate in our quest for Jesus. Be ravenous in our hunger for Jesus. Be relentless in our journey to Bethlehem. And kindle your longing for the birth of Christ in your life. And as tonight, I ask you, friends, are you determined to see Jesus anew? If we have left Jesus in a bag that looks torn up and broken, what is the world going to know and see? Are we excited about Jesus' birth tonight? Do we love Jesus? Have we received the gift of eternal life? Let's ponder it for a moment. Do we all who believe in Jesus Christ believe that when we die and we leave this place, this earth, we'll be going home to see him, the hope of eternal life? Well, tonight, the story of Jesus Christ's birth reminds us of that. Scripture tells us that he was born to die. It is simple. Born to die. Why God chose to do it, we don't know. But he chose to do it that way. And so in this story, we see the amazement the shepherds had, because they were waiting for something exciting to happen. Not because just for the excitement, but because it would change their lives. Change their lives completely. Something was going to happen. I am one of those excited Christians. Do I get down sometimes? Yes. But oftentimes when I think of Jesus, I get excited. I think about what he has done for me. I think about the hope I have in him. I think about what he can yet do, and I truly believe it. Call me crazy, but I believe it. That Jesus Christ was born for that purpose only. And so tonight, I want to encourage you, friends. I'm glad that you're here, because you have taken a moment out of your busy time of shopping and being with family to come again and to worship God. I'm glad you've come with your families to be here among us, to remember him and to adore him and to give him thanks. I'm glad it's not just the pulpit staff and the choir that's here, but that you choose to come out to worship the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. The story tells us that when God looked down on humanity and saw us in sin, got an answer. And the answer would be in the form of a baby. God would step out of eternity, step into our lives, step into the world, been born of a woman, Emmanuel, God with us, so that we would have the hope of eternal life. And so we don't have to go around and act as if Jesus is dull and boring. Christian believers, is Jesus dull and boring to you? Talk to me now.
No.
Those who are talkers, some are not talkers. Some folks are not talkers, I know. Some are talkers. Is Jesus dull and boring? If Jesus is dull and boring, can't we find something better to do tonight? I'm glad you didn't find anything better to do. Glad you're here to sing the songs. And every song we sing is a worship to the Lord. Do you know that? Every song we sing, we're worshiping the Lord. Oh, come, let us adore him. Do you know when you sing that what you're saying? You're worshiping him. You don't have to be as wild as I am about him, but you're worshiping him. Hark the herald angels sing glory to the newborn king. Those words were written by these composers who loved the Lord and left those words for us. Isn't it? And so tonight when we come, we should be energized and excited because we are going to leave better than we came. Because we have been in the midst of the Holy One. Because scripture reminds us that where two or more are gathered together, the Lord is in our midst. Do you know the Lord is here? For those of you who are talking, turn to the person next to you and say, the Lord is here. The Lord is here. The Lord is here among us. Right? You can literally touch him. He's here. Because he says when two or more of us are gathered, he's here. Can't you see him, church? Can you feel him? Huh? The Spirit of the Lord is here among us. So we rejoice in knowing he's here. And when you leave this place, you're going to take a little bit of him. If you so choose to open your hearts, you'll take a little bit of him with you. Isn't it wonderful? Because he's large enough for us. He's huge enough. God is big enough for all of us. And when we leave this place, we'll take a little bit of him. As you open your gifts, you'll remember that you have him. If something bad happens tomorrow, you'll know that he's with you. We don't know what tomorrow brings, but what I can promise you tonight, that the Lord is going to be with you no matter what.
Amen.
That is the good news. Do you know it's good news? That God is going to be with us no matter what. Praises be unto the Lord. We don't know what tomorrow brings, friends, but we do know that the Lord promised he'll never leave us nor forsake us. We may reject him. There are times we get angry with him. It's okay. I've had my share of moments. Yet he never leaves us. And tonight reminds, you know what tonight reminds us of? That God would love us so much. John 3:16. That God so loved the world. What a God we have. That God would send his one and only Son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have the hope of eternal life. That's why this is so important to us, the birth of Jesus. So you and I have the hope of eternal life. And because we are sisters and brothers in Christ, just remember, no matter where you go, one day we're going to hook up together again. Because we're children of God.
Amen.
Right? In eternity, when you think I'm not there, Helen, I'll be right next door. I know you're trying to get rid of me, but when you think I'm not there, I'll be right next door. You're not sharing a room. But praises be to God, she's not going to share a room with me, but you never know who God is going to put you with. And that's right, there are many rooms. And so tonight we rejoice. We rejoice in our faith and in knowing that Jesus loves us. And all of this was done because of his great love for you and for me. Amen.